For you, 188 on top. Where did we say we got up to? Okay, I know where we're up to. Okay, we're middle of the page. Okay? The last thing the Alter Rebbe is saying is all the 10 spheres, if you remember we're learning this, all the 10 attributes of Hashem are alluded to in the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud is the dot. Remember we said that's the initial brainstorm, the spark that goes off in the brain. Hey is when you broaden it, which is Bina, understanding. And therefore last week we explained why masculine is Yud, and the feminine is Hey, because man gives the sperm the drop, and the woman broadens it. Okay? And then, it reveals itself to himself. Okay? And then he says like this, in the middle of the page, then, okay, so Yud and Hey is Chochmah Bina, you're understanding it yourself. But that's only you understanding it. What happens when you want to reveal it to somebody else? Then, the Almond is Galia when you want to reveal it to the revealed worlds. K'mei Ha'adam, like a person. He wants to reveal his wisdom to somebody else. For instance, through speech. In other words, like this, in simple English, you understand something, yeah? But it's not revealed to anybody else yet. If you want to reveal to somebody else, what do?
Tell them.
You tell it to them. Explain it to them. Yeah? You have a feeling. Nobody knows what your feeling is. So how do you reveal a feeling? Either speech or action. One of the two. Does he write down intellect also? So he says like this, Ki avav, because what's vav? The letter vav, Meira halam shocham milmaila lamato. The letter vav represents coming down. What's a vav? A vav is a straight line from higher to lower. It's spiritually, that means godliness coming down from a higher level to a lower level. V'gam hamshocha zu, and this hamshocha of coming down is through the midas, aide midas chazdei v'tuvei, through the attribute of chesed and Hashem's kindness. V'sham midas v'akadeshes, or any of the other midas, hanechlelos b'derech klal b'mispeshesh, which is the six midas, I'll explain in a second. In the pasuk, locha Hashem agdula, Vagvura, Vatiferes, Vanetzach, Vyahid, the various midas, until Lucha Hashem Amlocha Valeya Bechlal, including and not in, up to Malchus, not including Malchus. Meaning like this. Midas, okay, what's the difference between intellectual people and emotional people? Emotional people are more showing. I don't mean show off, just show. Intellect is called reserved.
Right.
Midas is already revealing things. An emotional person, you can see they're very emotional. Right? When intellect comes down into for somebody else, it has to go through speech, but it has to also go through the six midas, the attributes of love, fear, awe, you know, victory, all that. Because that's what actually brings intellect down. Until Malchus, and then Malchus, the last attribute, is actually the level of speech that actually reveals it to somebody else. In other words, like this. Last time we learned, last week, intellect gives birth to emotions. Intellect gives birth to emotions. Correct? You have intellect, it stimulates love and fear. That's Vav Hey of Hashem's name, is the male and the female. The male son, which is the Yud coming down further, which is intellect coming down into the six spheres, and Malchus, which is the daughter, which again is feminine, which is the concept of speech. But that's the way it becomes revealed. Ki midas Malchus yisbarach, because the attribute of Malchus is called Dvar Hashem, the word of a God. Like it says, Bidvar Melech Shiltein, a king rules with speech. A king rules with speech. And therefore, v'nechleles v'nemezes, it's included and alluded to in the second hay of Hashem's name. Okay? So what did Al Rebbe say? The 10 attributes of Hashem are alluded to in the name of God. Yud is Chochma, He is Bina, Vav are the 6 emotional levels, and the second He is Malchus. Okay? That's the way God's intellect and emotions are revealed in worlds. Through Chochma, Bina, and Das, Yud and He, and through the Vav and the He. That's the way it becomes revealed in the world. And he says, why is Hey, the level of speech, because Hey is Ha, air. Okay? Ki primis hamoker adibur, what's the origin and the source of speech? Is Hevel ha'ele me'alev, air, how does a person speak? Air comes up from the lungs, correct? And then you form it in the 5 formations of the mouth, or the throat, or the stomach, right? In other words, what speech? Air comes, hot air, as they always say. Hot air comes from the lungs, and then when the air is coming up, you form it into letters, through the lips, tongue, throat, teeth, whatever it may be. Like it says, it comes into the 5 formations of the mouth. Like it says, the letters Aleph, Ches, Pe, Ayin, come from the throat. The letters Bump, Beis, Vav, Mem, Pe, comes in the mouth. Pe, Mem, it's all the lips.
Yes.
Okay. Not only that, V'gam Havod is Hey, even the way you pronounce the letter Hey. How do you pronounce Hey? That's air. He have a levad, like it says, also kalila, a very weak letter. Okay, the last bit mashosha that has no substance. The letter hey, by the way, is there's no substance to it. Beis is something involved. Hey is so there's no substance. And he says like this. So therefore, when Hashem created the world, or put the neshama into the Jew, is coming through speech. And if you remember, we learned there's external speech and there's internal speech. Okay, well then we'll learn it soon. When you blow, don't we discuss the difference between blowing and talking?
Yes.
Okay. Talking is external. Air. That's why you can talk, you don't get tired. When you blow, then that's internal coming out.
Speech, though?
No, blowing.
You just said that the internal and
internal is blowing, speech is external.
But it's not a form of speech, then.
Speech is.
Blowing?
No, blowing is internal.
Okay, but it comes from
this. Both come from air. Talking comes from air, right? And blowing comes from air, from the lungs. Yes? What's the difference between talking and blowing? Talking is external air coming out versus blowing, which is a deeper internal level coming out. Correct? Now, if Hashem created everything with speech, what does that mean? Hashem created everything with an external, limited force. Got it? When it says Hashem blew the neshama, what does that imply? That God put a part of himself into us. Yes? The Alter Rebbe is explaining the uniqueness of the neshama of the Jew, that is actually Hashem blowing into us.
So that makes us part of
Hashem. That's why we have a neshama, which is part of Hashem. Now, what the Alter Rebbe is leading up to, that we'll get to in a while, if I blow in a certain direction, and there's something blocking me, the air is not going to go through.
Is that the sin?
1 second. If Hashem is blowing neshama into me, and then I sin, which creates a blockage, so I'm stopping the blow of Hashem, Hashem's essence, to come into me.
So they're constantly getting that.
Yes.
That is.
And that's why when a person sins, they can, God forbid, die young, because they lose the lifeline.
That doesn't usually hold true today.
Not today. But the and Alter Rebbe asked the question before, why do people that get kodesh, yet they're living a very long time? Right? They're supposed to die before 50 or 60, yet they're living ripe, old age, beautiful, peaceful, wonderful years. If they're supposed to die, they're supposed to die. Correct?
Yeah.
So what's the Alter Rebbe doing over here? In the long explanation, to understand what tshuva is. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining, the neshama is different than words. Right? Hashem created everything with words. Neshama was blown. So therefore, if a neshama is a part of Hashem, and like he's going to quote the pasuk later, the Jew is the rope of God's inheritance. Correct? That means, picture, in a physical sense, a lifeline called a rope. That's the lifeline between Hashem and the Jew, and Hashem is blowing through the rope life into us. Yes? Now, when a person drags the rope down, what happens? Huh? The thing on top also goes down. Right? If you have a balloon.
I'm pulling it down.
Okay, and you're, it was a string, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pull the string down.
Brings it down. Yes.
The balloon goes down.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
When Hashem blows life into us, and we decide to sin, what we're really doing, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, we're dragging God into garbage.
And we're cutting off the lifeline.
We're cutting off the lifeline, but even more than that, we are dragging Hashem into garbage. Because when we sin, we're going into garbage, spiritually, right? So when we go down, we take Hashem with us. Therefore, the Shekhinah is in exile. Right? Because we're dragging him down into mud. Why is the Shekhinah in exile? To explain this properly, even though we're not there yet. What's the definition of exile? Definition of exile is somebody else controls me. I am not in control of myself. Correct?
Yeah.
If I'm in control, I'm not in exile. When a person is in exile, the Jews were in Egypt. Egypt controlled them. The Jews were in...
So we're in exile right now.
Right. Yeah, I understand. 1 second, though. Now, if we are connected to Hashem, and now we sin, okay, so we're going down into garbage. Who are we taking with us? Hashem is going into exile, too. Meaning like this. How is Hashem in exile? Nobody's controlling Hashem.
Right.
But the truth is they are. Because Hashem, excuse the pun, is dying to reveal himself. And when we bring God into evil, the definition of evil is a concealment of God. So God can't reveal himself. So God is restrained that he can't do what he really wants, and that's why he's in exile. When the Jews behave, in Shlomo Melech's time, it was great. Physically great. But when the Jews go into Golos, then the other nations control. They even control godliness, because this is the way God set it up, that our actions affect. So Hashem set it up in a way that our actions cannot allow Hashem to reveal himself. And therefore, the wicked are prosperous.
So what's the reason to do mitzvah?
We don't need to be wicked.
We're in Golos, and we can't make him.
The mitzvahs are taking us out of Golos.
He said he's no matter what.
Now, okay, our sins drag God into Golos, correct? Mm-hmm. So what's tshuva? Returning. Returning the hay, toshuv hay, returning the letter hay that went into exile through our actions, we're returning it back up to God. Back to where he belongs.
Hashem has patience for so many thousands of years.
Must be a good, he has a lot of patience because he's a good doctor.
And he created time.
Every minute Hashem is in Golos, Hashem suffers. But why don't you look at it the opposite way? Look at the power we have.
Yeah.
We control the shots.
Yeah.
From one side, look how bad we are that we're keeping God in Golos. From the opposite side, we can get him out of Golos. Correct. Correct.
Like I said it's easy to forget your mission. Like we're so far from the Beis HaMikdash. Like for us, it's just we try to visualize what it is, and we, you know what I'm saying.
And nevertheless, we're still doing mitzvahs. So you know how excited God is. They give a marshal for this. There's a star up some million miles away. Okay? And it's a marshal. Don't get excited. It's not happening yet. And a spaceship is going to that planet, whatever. Yeah? But obviously nobody's gonna live that long. So they take along male and female. Okay? And they reproduce and they have kids. Now they tell the kids there's something called Earth. And we used to live there, and now we're traveling, okay? Now those kids have kids. They're gonna tell them, we never saw Earth, but we heard from our parents who saw Earth that they were there. Okay, 20 generations down. It's only hearsay, you know. I heard from my grandfather, there was something called Earth. So you can imagine, the reality of Earth in their mind is minimal. Correct? Okay. So what's the marshal? There are generations in Golos, but they remember the Beis HaMikdash. It's like, even Lahavdil today, I know you could say Lahavdil, you know, most of the survivors are not alive anymore. Give another 10, 20 years, there's nobody left. Correct? Okay. So what do we have today? Second generation. They're telling us our parents were in the Holocaust. In 10 generations from now, what's going to happen? Even if they talk about it, it's going to be so far-fetched, so remote, so removed. It's not going to be real.
Is that where we don't have a Holocaust?
So there, that's why they want to keep it alive, whatever, okay. But it's still not the same, you have to understand. It's still not going to be the same. Now, the Jews are living in Golos for 2,000 years now. And we're trying to remember there used to be a Beis HaMikdash and used to be the Tzaddikim and the Kohen Gadol and it's way down now. Yet, listen to this, there are Jews still keeping mitzvahs. So the Friedrich Rebbe says in the Maimon right after the Holocaust, he says, the fact that Jews keep mitzvahs at all, Hashem is really excited. Think about it. What do these people know about godliness and Judaism and all that? What are they, and yet they keep mitzvahs. I mentioned the story, there's a story, there was a chassid of a certain Rebbe was going to America. And he said to his Rebbe, okay, you're in Europe, I'm going to America, who can I get brachas from? Who can I get a bracha from? There's not that many great people in America. So his Rebbe told him a very profound statement. He said, if you walk into shul, and you see a Jew putting on tefillin with a number on his hand, you know, that Jew, you can get a bracha from. The fact that that Jew lived through the war, and is still coming to shul to put on tefillin, he's a holy Jew, you can get the bracha from him. So in other words, like this. You can look at things in two ways. It's called positive or negative. You can look at the world today and say, oi, look how many Jews are turning off. Look how many Jews are not keeping. Look how many, it's one way of looking. The opposite way of looking at it is, wow. Look how much Torah growth there is. Look how many Bali Tshuva there are. Look how many people are still doing it. That's a very positive way. Channel the energy into something positive. So when a person sins, Dr. Rebbe is explaining, what they actually do is take this neshama that we have, which is a part of Hashem, connected to Hashem, and we're dragging it down. And when we go down, He goes down with us. So therefore we force Hashem to be in exile, which means evil controls him that he cannot reveal himself like he would want to. So what is the concept of, now think, what's the concept of tshuva? Getting God back to where he belonged. That's toshuv hey, the letter hey, which is the hey that's the source of our blowing and our speech, that God is dragged down, we have to return that through tshuva back to where we got. So what's the purpose of Torah mitzvahs? To get us out of Golos.
But it seems like the world is better. I mean, for us.
Depends who you ask.
If Hashem had expected of us. It seems like tshuvas are much greater and
like a number.
It seems, but well, yeah, by number.
There's a lot of people not keeping.
What can we do?
I'm not saying what we could do or not.
I think Lubavitch is all over the world now. I mean, it's like, how many thousands are at the convention this year, you know?
There are thousands, but there's, how many Jews?
I don't know, they're getting less than
16 million?
What?
There's 16 million Jews. So you're going to tell, 16 million?
16.
1-6.
Oh, 16.
Oh. How many of those Jews are religious? Less than half.
Less than half?
Much, much, much less than half. Much less than half. Maybe a quarter.
I'm sure it's grown.
It's grown for one reason, by the way. The religious people have more kids. No, the religious people have more kids. Between assimilation and birth control, that every family has 1.54 kids. So two parents have 1.5 kids. Yeah.
Is it the same idea also with Matan Torah, the fact that we are so far from Matan Torah and we're keeping the Torah? It's a similar idea that also Hashem gets an office from that?
Yeah, tremendous. You know, Manus Friedman always says his famous vart. A guy comes and gets married with his wife. He says to his wife, put up dinner, I'll be right back. He comes back 2,000 years later, and he says, why isn't dinner warm? Understand? Where were you for 2,000 years? God revealed himself in Matan Torah, checked out for 2,000 years, and then he's telling his wife, the Jews, where's dinner? So you can't blame the Jews.
That's right.
100%. But that doesn't mean we should make it better. So Torah mitzvah actually is the concept of tshuva. Tshuva means returning to Hashem. What brings us closer to Hashem? You do a mitzvah, you get closer to Hashem. Not only that, when it's darker, the light shines brighter. So when a Jew does a mitzvah today in the dark world, it's a brighter mitzvah than it was hundreds of years ago when it was not such a dark world. Which is another interesting thing. But Hashem judges us based on our ability. Okay? Like, they have a song. They're not going to punish you while you weren't in Moshe. They're going to punish you while you weren't you. Zushanapoli said, when I come up after I knew it, they're not going to beat me up why I wasn't the Maggid. How can I be my Rabbi the Maggid? They're going to beat me up why I wasn't Zusha. Based on what we could do, that's what Hashem demands from us. What could we do? The truth is, and this is what Rabbi taught us, you have more power than you think you have. You could really do more than you think you could do. So why are you stopping on a lesser level when you really could do more? So don't stop. Every person themselves, we all know. Let's say, okay, a person that gives tzedakah, right? He said, no, I can't give anymore. Can't? Yeah? Let me ask you a question. They can't give another penny? You told me they can't give another penny? They could give another penny. So what do you mean they can't give more? We could do more. All of us know that as good as we are, we can always become better. That's a given. So we have to become better. That's tshuva. Tshuva is returning Hashem, taking the God that's out of Golos and bringing him back to where he belongs. Okay.